For a moment, consider the things your mind has brought you. Everything you have, your work, your relationship with your family and others, your philosophy of life, all come to you as a result of using your mind. Now consider the estimate made by experts. You have probably been operating on less than 10% of your mental capacities, much less. Man is using a very small fraction of his capacities. Neurological research at the UCLA Brain Research Institute points to enormous abilities latent in everyone by suggesting an incredible hypothesis. The ultimate creative capacity of the human brain may be, for all practical purposes, they pointed out, infinite. Man is a vast storehouse of data. But we have not learned how to program ourselves to utilize these data for problem-solving purposes. Man, under average conditions of work and life, uses only a small part of his thinking equipment. If he were able to force our brain to work at only half its capacity, we could, without any difficulty whatever, learn 40 languages.
The reason that people don't do stuff, one is it's hard, and two is it's risky. I think history belongs to the doers. And I think you should take a risk. Risk actually looks like is not doing something that you will then spend the rest of your life regretting. I think most people give up on things way too early. So the mistake that most people make is they try something, it does not immediately work.
Living successfully, getting the things we want from life is a matter of solving the problems which stand between where we now are and the point we wish to reach.
Be the person that does more for others.
No one is without problems. They're a part of living.
Life will just be anything you want out of it, really is what it is. And so the way to do that is every day work harder on yourself than anything else. Because if you become more intelligent, more valuable, more skilled, you can add more value to other people.
Yeah, I think if you don't actually believe what you're doing is really important, if you don't derive satisfaction from what you're doing, then you will not be able to sustain all of the bad things that happen in the incredibly long period of time that the bad things happen over. And so the only motivation that I have seen work for people over a long period of time is enjoyment in what they're doing and an intense belief that it matters. It's totally cool when people start off saying, well, I want to make money or I want to be famous. I think a lot of people start that way and they don't like to admit it. But pretty quickly, or at least in the first few years, I think a lot of people find a deeper mission for why they do what they do. And that drives them then for the rest of the time they work.
So the point is you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to do it the way everybody else has done it. You can do it your way. You can break the rules. That's rule number one.
It is the generally accepted theoretical view of man's mental potentialities. Now, how can we tap this gigantic potential? Well, it's a big and very complex problem with many ramifications. But as Herbert Otto points out, it is clear that persons who live close to their capacity, who continue to activate their potential, have a pronounced sense of well-being and considerable energy. They see themselves as leading purposeful and creative lives. But believe me when I say that your mind can be compared to an undiscovered gold mine. Look at it this way. Your goal is in the future. Your problem is to bridge the gap which exists between where you are now and the goal you intend to reach. This is the problem to solve. Successful people are not people without problems. They're simply people who've learned to solve their problems.
Ignore people telling you your idea is bad. They may be right, but the only way to know is to actually build it out. And in most of the rest of the world, the default response when you tell someone your idea is to say, oh, that's not going to work. And this is really toxic for startups because you have to believe in yourself. And the good ideas, because they sound like bad ideas, are so fragile and so killable. That you have to be really careful to insulate yourself against this.
We don't do anything without an idea. So they're beautiful gifts. Desiring an idea is like a bait on a hook.
Yeah.
It can pull them in. And if you catch an idea that you love, that's a beautiful, beautiful day. And you write that idea down so you won't forget it. And that idea that you caught might just be a fragment of the whole, whatever it is you're working on, but now you have even more bait. Thinking about that small fragment, that little fish, will bring in more, and they'll come in and they'll hook on. And more come in, and pretty soon you might have a script. Or a chair, or a painting, or an idea for a painting. More often than not, small fragments. I like to think of it as, in the other room, the puzzle is all together. But they keep flipping in just one piece at a time.
After 7 weeks, they say, you know what, I tried this thing. It's just not meant to be, and I have too many other projects. So they immediately give up. Being young and unknown and poor, that is actually a great gift in terms of the amount of risk you can take.
That's a beautiful thing to think about.
Like, a lot of people ask me, like, I was where you were once, can't you help me? And I was like, well, the difference was when I was where you were, I never asked anybody for help, I just did it myself. So it's always better if you can do it yourself, you feel better at the end of the day.
These things are really hard, they take a very long time. There are a lot of critics, there are a lot of people who say this thing sucks, it's gonna fail, it's really stupid. Most of the founders that I have spent a lot of time with that have gone on to be super successful spent a very long time on their idea when a lot of other people would have given up.
There's always a sense that people have that it's really hard to come up with answers. all the answers have already been discovered in one way or another. And I think that's not the case. And I sort of divide things up into conventions, which are things everybody knows to be true. The other extreme, there are mysteries, things that nobody can figure out. And in between are these things that I call secrets, which are things that you could figure out. They're hard, but if you really work at it, you could figure something out. There are many secrets left to be discovered. I actually think that this is a somewhat non-conventional view, is that most secrets have been discovered and that there's nothing new to find. And so, I think there are a lot of fields where new things can be found. We're often discouraged by sort of a version of globalization. We think there are, 7 billion other people in the world, and there will always be someone who will have already thought of it. And if no one will have thought of it before us, it must be almost impossibly hard. And so it ends up being this sort of self-fulfilling thing where we don't even try. And I do think the only people who will discover secrets are people who work at it. Many of these great companies have something like this at the core.
But let me show you how much time we waste in worrying about the wrong problem. Here's a reliable estimate of the things people worry about. Things that never happen, 40%. Things over and past that can't be changed by all the worry in the world, 30%. Needless worries about our health, 12%. Petty miscellaneous worries, 10%. Real, legitimate worries, 8%. 92% of the average person's worries take up valuable time, cause painful stress, even mental anguish, and are absolutely unnecessary. And of the real, legitimate worries, there are two kinds. There are the problems we can solve, and there are the problems beyond our ability to personally solve. But most of our real problems usually fall into the first group, the ones we can solve if we learn how. The only thing in the world that can take you to your goals in life is your mind, its effective use, and following through on the good ideas it supplies you. Each of us has a tendency to underestimate his or her own abilities. We should realize that we have, deep within ourselves, a reservoir of great ability, even genius.
There still is a frontier left, and the frontier is not infinitely far away. But there are many places where you can still get to the frontier. There are many directions you can go where the frontier is close, and where there's a lot left to be discovered.
Now I'm going to assume you've decided upon a goal. Your problem is, how do I achieve it? Your goal may be a promotion, a greater income, a beautiful home. It makes little difference what your goal happens to be. But you have your goal, and you know that you will become and you will achieve what you think about. That is, if you stay with it, you will reach your goal. But how? Well, it's right here that your mind comes into play. What is your mind? No one knows for sure. Perhaps the best way to describe it is to quote Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Archibald MacLeish. The only thing about a man that is a man is his mind. Everything else you can find in a pig or a horse. The human mind is the one thing that separates us from the rest of the creatures on Earth. In order to reflect just a moment on the human mind, consider what it's accomplished. Human knowledge has advanced more in the past 50 years than in all the preceding 10,000 years of human civilization. We're entering an entirely new age of man, the age of the mind. And you own one, free and clear. Pick 1 hour a day on which you can fairly regularly count. And during this hour every day, take a completely blank sheet of paper. At the top of the page, write your present primary goal, clearly, simply. Then, since our future depends upon the way in which we handle our work, write down as many ideas as you can for improving that which you now do. face it with faith and bend all the great powers of your mind towards solving it. And believe me, solve it, you will. It's like spending 5 hours a week digging in a solid vein of pure gold, because your mind is all of that and much more. 2. If everything you now have is the result of using, say, 5 to 10% of your mental abilities, you can imagine what life will be like if you can increase this figure to 20% or more. Successful people are not people without problems. They're simply people who've learned to solve their problems. Just one great idea can completely revolutionize your work and, as a result, your life. Just one great idea can completely revolutionize your work and, as a result, your life.